32. Company. For I, of all people, have changed. From Oathbringer, Preface. Shallan settled in Sabariel's sitting room. It was a strangely shaped stone chamber with a loft above. He sometimes put musicians there, and a shallow cavity in the floor, which he kept saying he was going to fill with water and fish. She was fairly certain he made claims like that just to annoy Dalinar with his supposed extravagance. For now they'd covered the hole with some boards, and Sabariel would periodically warn people not to step on them. The rest of the room was decorated lavishly. She was pretty sure she'd seen those tapestries in a monastery in Dalinar's war camp, and they were matched by luxurious furniture, golden lamps, and ceramics, and a bunch of splintery boards covering a pit. She shook her head. Then, curled up on a sofa with blankets heaped over her, she gladly accepted a cup of steaming citrus tea from Pallona. She still hadn't been able to rid herself of the lingering chill she'd felt since her encounter with Ray Shafir a few hours back.
"Is there anything else I can get you?" Pallona asked.
Shallan shook her head, so the Herdazian woman settled herself on a sofa nearby, holding another cup of tea. Shallan sipped, glad for the company. Adolin had wanted her to sleep, but the last thing she wanted was to be alone. He'd handed her over to Pallona's care, then stayed with Dalinar and Navani to answer their further questions.
"So," Pallona said, "what was it like?"
How to answer that? She'd touched the storming Midnight Mother, a name from ancient lore, one of the unmade, princes of the Voidbringers. People sang about Rhaes Shafir in poetry and epics, describing her as a dark, beautiful figure. Paintings depicted her as a black-clad woman with red eyes and a sultry gaze. That seemed to exemplify how little they really remembered about these things.
"It wasn't like the stories," Shallan whispered. "Rhaes Shafir is a spren. A vast, terrible spren who wants so desperately to understand us. So she kills us, imitating our violence."
There was a deeper mystery beyond that, a wisp of something she'd glimpsed while intertwined with Rhaes Shafir. It made Shallan wonder if this spren wasn't merely trying to understand humankind, but rather searching for something it itself had lost. Had this creature, in distant, distant time beyond memory, once been human? They didn't know. They didn't know anything. At Shallan's first report, Navani had set her scholars searching for information, but their access to books here was still limited. Even with access to the Palinaeum, Shallan wasn't optimistic. Yasna had hunted for years to find Urithiru, and even then most of what she'd discovered had been unreliable. It had simply been too many years.
"To think it was here all this time," Pallona said, "hiding down there."
"She was captive," Shallan whispered. "She eventually escaped, but that was centuries ago. She has been waiting here ever since."
"Well, we should find where the others are held and make sure they don't get out."
"I don't know if the others were ever captured."
She'd felt isolation and loneliness from Rhaes Shafir, a sense of being torn away while the others escaped.
"So they're out there, and always have been," Shallan said.
She felt exhausted, and her eyes were drooping in direct defiance of her insistence to Adolin that she was not that kind of tired.
"Surely we'd have discovered them by now."
"I don't know," Shallan said. They'll just be normal to us, the way things have always been."
She yawned, then nodded absently as Pallona continued talking, her comments degenerating into praise of Shallan for acting as she had. Adolin had been the same way, which she hadn't minded, and Dalinar had been downright nice to her, instead of being his usual stern rock of a human being. She didn't tell them how near she'd come to breaking, and how terrified she was that she might someday meet that creature again. But maybe she did deserve some acclaim.
She'd been a child when she'd left her home, seeking salvation for her family. For the first time since that day on the ship, watching Yakoved fade behind her, she felt like she actually might have a handle on all of this, like she might have found some stability in her life, some control over herself and her surroundings. Remarkably, she kind of felt like an adult. She smiled and snuggled into her blankets, drinking her tea and, for the moment, putting out of her mind that basically an entire troop of soldiers had seen her with her glove off. She was kind of an adult. She could deal with a little embarrassment. In fact, she was increasingly certain that between Shallan, Vale, and Radiant, she could deal with anything life could throw at her. A disturbance outside made her sit up, though it didn't sound dangerous. Some chatter, a few boisterous exclamations. She wasn't terribly surprised when Adolin stepped in, bowed to Pelona, he did have nice manners, and jogged over to her, his uniform still rumpled from having worn shard plate over it.
"Don't panic," he said. "It's a good thing."
"It?" she said, growing alarmed.
"Well, someone just arrived at the tower."
"Oh, that. Sabariel passed the news. The bridge boy's back."
"Him? No, that's not what I'm talking about."
Adolin searched for words as voices approached, and several other people stepped into the room. At their head was Yasna Kolin. The end of part 1.